They're going to explain why they're here and where they're speaking. Which one of you want to come first? Come on down. There we go. Okay, Miriam. All right.
All right. So some of you probably saw the table full of food outside. So that is for the three of us. We're raising money for the missions trips that we're going on. There is, I think it's a two-week period in April where you choose a trip to go on, you raise money for it. So I signed up for Las Vegas, mainly because of the leader that is leading the trip. He's a phenomenal pastor, so prophetic, funny, which I'm always drawn towards, if you know my family. He's from New York. He's Italian, yeah. So my favorite kind of people. I don't know, I was looking through all the lists of different trips, and of course I'm drawn outside of the U.S., but for some reason I was like, no, I'm not supposed to go outside of the U.S., I'm supposed to be here, and I found that, and I was like, oh, that's the one I'm supposed to go on. Just because my love for our country, like, yeah, the light of the world needs to go everywhere, but we need it so bad. And that's one of the areas of our country that needs a lot of light. So I'm just so excited to go there and to bring light and to shine Jesus's love on people that are looking for something and desperate and hungry for something that they might not even know what they're looking for. And Jesus is the answer.
All right.
So that's
Thank you, Miriam. Awesome. All right, so Miriam Lorman. So Miriam, just for those of you who may not know or visitors, Miriam is in her third year at Bethel School of Ministry in Redding, California. So these are short-term mission trips affiliated with the Bethel School of Ministry, which we heartily support. So who's next after Miriam?
Hardly.
Did I say something wrong? Oh, hardly. We hardly support. Delete that on the records back there. Let's erase that. Heartily. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Allie. The missions trip I'm going on is to Cambodia, and a while back, we had the opportunity to choose the our top five mission trips that we would like to go on. And so I was, like, scrolling through the list of all of them and reading through the vision for the trip. And I really was praying that the Lord would just highlight, like, one specific trip to me that he wanted me to go on. And Cambodia was just highlighted to me, particularly because we're going to be working with anti-human trafficking organizations, and I've had such a burden for that ever since I've really been made aware of how prevalent it is in the world right now. And so for this trip, we're going to be going to Cambodia, and during the week, we're going to be working with an orphanage, and they have rescued people from human trafficking, and they just take in orphans, and we're going to be ministering to the children and the youth and the leadership of that orphanage, and then on the weekends, we're going to be going to Phnom Penh, which is the capital, I think, of Cambodia. And we're going to be going to the red light district where there's pimps and prostitutes. And we're just going to be talking to the girls and sharing the gospel. And then we're also going to partner with an anti-human trafficking organization that houses girls that they have rescued. And we're going to be doing a lot of inner healing with them and just sharing the Father's love and encouraging the staff of the organization, because they really look forward to Bethel coming and encouraging them. And another cool thing is Bob Johnson, Bill Johnson's brother, is leading our trip. So I'm really excited for that. So it'll be great.
Very good. Thank you very much, Allie. And Allie is in her second year? First year. Allie is in her first year at Bethel School of Ministry. Okay, so now we have Lily. Come on up, Lily.
Hi. So when I was deciding which mission trip I wanted to go on, I definitely felt I had a desire to go to a Spanish-speaking country. So I looked at all of them. I read all the descriptions. And I ended up picking Costa Rica because I just really liked what they were going to do there. They're going to be doing treasure hunts, going to villages in, I think it's in San Jose, and We'll be doing some construction and leading a conference and doing worship. So it'll be really great. And yeah.
Good, Lily. All right. Thank you, Lily. Lily also in her first year, correct, Lily? First year at Bethel School of Ministry. Okay. And so these trips are all being supported. If you want to support any of these trips, you can do them a couple ways. First of all, you can buy as many cookies as possible out on the cookie table. That will support their ministry. Also, our church, because we support them, you can write a check to New Heritage Community. And in the down in the memo section, you can write Bethel, like on my check, what I intend to do. You can write Bethel, but for individuals, if you want to give, let's say you want to give $100 to each, just hypothetically, you would put their name on a sticky pad or some kind of note and put the name, Miriam, Lily, or Allie, either way. That's it. Or ask them how they can support them directly. There's a number of ways, but we can process checks here that will go directly to them to support them if you write it to New Heritage Community. Did I make that clear to everybody? Did I get it straight? No misspoken words? Okay, everybody's on the same page with that. Okay, so thank you very much. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. We are very, so very proud.
Well, okay. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. So just curious, how many of you saw the ball drop? And you're still, and you're here this morning. Well, good for you. Good job. All right. Yeah, I missed it this year, but maybe next year. Well, what would a New Year's Day be without a New Year's joke? Okay? So here we go. So, how did the spider respond to the question, what's your New Year's resolution? Dan, you can't say anything. Okay? Y'all thinking? Got it? Got it yet, Melissa? Okay, here we go. To spend more time with my family and less time on the web.
You got it, Dan, a winner.
Come on. Not bad. All right, well, a little bit more serious notes. Part of our tradition, custom here at New Heritage, is on their communion, Lord's Supper celebration Sundays. We like to pray for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, and we want to support and come alongside those who are going through that time of grieving. And so this morning, we'd just like to pray with you briefly, and if that is you this morning, we just simply ask that you would stand and the people close by you can perhaps place a hand upon you, and we can pray for you and with you. So please stand. And the rest of us, if we could just pray this prayer together. But this is, I love this short little passage here in Psalm 116, verse 15. It says, the Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. So if the Lord cares deeply, how much more should we care as well? So this is our opportunity this morning to share with you and to say that we care as well. So, Father, thank you that for this special time, just to show our love, show our support, that we care, that we are a family together, and we support each other in all things, good times and hard times. So, Lord, we just ask now as we pray that your Spirit would bring comfort to those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. So if the rest of us could pray with me, let's pray. God, our Father, through the death of your Son, you have defeated death. Through the resurrection of your Son, you have restored us to life. We pray today for our brothers and sisters, family and friends who have died in the hope of eternal life. We pray that as they have passed from this life to the next, they would be bathed in your love and in your mercy. May they find eternal joy with you in the glory and beauty of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Lord, we remember your promise that blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And Father, we also this morning simply we want to remember the tragic loss of so many lives yesterday, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, that is, in Turkey, and 39 people tragically killed. And God, we just pray and intercede this morning for the family and friends of all those people who are tragically killed, lost their lives to a terrorist act of violence. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come to each grieving family this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would do only what you can do, that you would bring them comfort, and you would bring them a revelation of your love for them and the strength that you can give to help them get through this time. So, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, this morning, to prepare us for Communion Day, if you like communion better than the Lord's Supper. Okay, Holy Communion. To prepare us for Holy Communion, we have one of our own to share something with us this morning to help prepare us for our time of Holy Communion. And many of you know her. I think we all know her. Allison Fritz. Allison, please forgive me, but I found this, I think, a beautiful picture of you. Now, let me just say, it was really difficult to find this. You know, on Facebook, I mean, 99.9% of all of Allison's pictures are of her children, Dave, everybody else but her. But I kept searching diligently, and I finally found one. So, but you know, so we all know Allison as an amazing person, amazing mom, and a beloved wife of our beloved Dave Fritz. But what you may not know, and I want to tell you, please forgive me, Allison, I don't want to embarrass you, but a few things you may not know about Allison. Allison is the Senior Organization Development and Training Consultant for Johns Hopkins Health System, where she works to coach leaders, strengthen teams, and help the organization through change. There's more. She holds a doctoral degree in organization and staff development and a master's in counseling and student personnel. There's more. She's a certified coach. And most importantly of all, I'm practicing my alliteration here, Allison, please forgive me, she's a compassionate, creative, Christ-centered, consecrated, and amazing servant of the Lord. So, with that little to-do, let's welcome Allison Fritz. I'll change the slide for you.
Thank you, Fred. Boy, got to live up to that somehow. That's not going to... Actually, the funny thing about the pictures is that, you know, I'm the one who takes all the pictures in the family, and so my family, I keep saying to them, someday you're going to think you didn't have a mother, you know, because all the pictures are everybody else. But thank you, Fred. That was very kind and gracious. So, anybody have a good meal last night?
Yeah.
Good meal, yeah. Yeah, we know how to eat well, don't we? Especially, you know, on New Year's Eve, Christmas, Thanksgiving, we do it up. You know, most of us do it up. You know, I miss the latkes. Those of you who were at the Christmas Eve service, there were latkes in the back, and I got talking, and you all got to them before me, so I didn't get any, but I heard they were great. Yeah, we know how to kind of enhance food, even though it's really just to keep us alive, isn't it? Right? You know, this year I really struggled with food a lot because early in the year I had kidney stones. If anybody's had kidney stones, it's not a picnic. It is very difficult. And interestingly, most of my life I've tried to eat very healthy. And the doctor said to me, you know all that healthy food that you like to eat? You know, those strawberries and the spinach and the tofu? You got to get them out, or at least lower them, because they create the oxalate that creates these stones. So honestly, I went into the grocery store like a couple days after talking to this doctor, the big, beautiful giant that I love, and I'm in there, and the walls start closing in on me, and I actually started to cry in the middle of the grocery store. I had to call Dave to come and get me because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. But we make a lot of food, don't we? We kind of create a lot out of it. You know, when you think about the new year, a lot of people are going to have new diets, right? Going to maybe cut out the gluten, eat healthier, or cut out the fat. A lot of people start diets in the new year, right? Whatever your relationship is with food, it's really just to help us live, right? And today we're getting ready to take a meal of sorts, aren't we? In Luke 22, it says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" This Christmas, I was thinking about how we see Jesus portrayed as a baby at Christmas time. He's always in a manger, right? And a manger is a trough. It's an eating plate for animals. So this is prophetic. This is prophetic symbolism that he came as our food, as our sustenance for life, right? And then he said, "I am the bread of life." And fast forward to the Passover where he said, you know, this is my body, right? He's holding the bread. This is my body. And he's saying that it's going to be broken. It's going to be broken for you, right? I'm giving it to each one of you as your personal food for life. Why? Because you're part of me. That's really why. He was going away and he wanted the disciples to remember him and what he's doing, getting ready to do, constantly. Even though he wasn't going to be around the table anymore, he wanted to be remembered. He wanted them to remember that he wants them to live, right? Not to forget the unity they had, and that he wanted them to be part of him. You know, it's all very symbolic, but it's also extremely personal. I think about the communion table as the ultimate expression of inclusion and acceptance. He's saying that, you know, eat this bread and it represents my body broken for you because you're part of me. You know, to be part of something is to be included, is to be accepted, right? And we all have this basic need, don't we? We all have this basic need to be included and accepted. You know, and I think it's by design. I do. We want to be accepted in things, right? I see this a lot in my work because part of what I also do is team development. So I work with these teams, and sometimes they're dysfunctional and they're trying to get connected up. And you see people feeling like they're not part of the group, and that's part of what's going on. They feel left out. These are adults, we're not talking about young kids. So we want to be part of the groups that we interact with, right? We want to be part of the groups at work. We want to be part of the groups at school, right? We want to be part of the groups at church, right? And even in our families. And how many of us know that, you know, this was probably a tough Christmas or even New Year's for some folks because they feel left out of their own families, right? Maybe even rejected by their own families. Maybe some of you have been dealing with that. Right? Likely at some point, though, all of us have felt left out, haven't we? I know I have many times. You know, and I remember back, I grew up in New Jersey. And in my town, it was about half Catholic Italian, and it was about almost half Jewish. And you'd think, wow, that I would really fit in here, right? Because my dad, Jewish, my mother, Italian, Catholic. Good fit, right? Well, except that my parents had been hurt by religious people, okay, because they got married, Catholic and a Jewish man. And so the Catholic religion at the time, not too kind to my mother, kind of pushed her out. My father's family, they were nominal Jews, but kind of pushed him out. So they had been hurt by the religious people, okay? So they said, okay, my kids are going to grow up and decide for themselves. They left the door wide open. And so the beauty in that is that I had no baggage, and the great part of it is I think that's why my faith is the way it is today, because I didn't have all that junk going around. But at the same time, it was hard, because I wasn't part of any of these things, these groups. And guess when it got really hard? When I went to a Catholic church, and I couldn't take communion. Right? And this is not a commentary on the Catholic Church. I do understand and I honor their structures and their rituals and their beliefs. Any community, you know, in the work I do, you have to have those things. So it's not a commentary on that. But it was painful to feel excluded from that. In fact, so much so that at one point in time, I was about probably 10 or 11, I told my mother that I wanted to make my first Holy Communion. I wasn't Catholic. I had been baptized. And she kindly got me all these materials so that I could make my first communion. And I remember I studied up until the Lord's Prayer, which has served me very well. But she said to me, you know, I think you're a little old to be doing this right now. She knew there would be 7-year-olds in the group, and she knew I would feel a little odd. And so she said, maybe not a great idea. And so I stopped. I didn't do it. So fast forward, years later, Dave brought me to Living Water Fellowship, which was the church that we merged with Covenant Community to form New Heritage Community that we're in today. And many years ago, we used to meet at UMBC, and we met in a lecture hall. And that day, my first day I came in, and I sat next to Dave in the back. And this was a lecture hall, so it went downward. You know, there was Fred in the front, and there was wonderful, warm, inviting music. It was wonderful. And I sat there, and Fred gets up, and Fred says, okay, now we're getting ready to take communion. Anyone who would like to come and receive, come now. And I turned to Dave, and I looked at him, and I said, anyone? And he said, yeah, anyone. And I said, me? I can take communion? He said, yeah, you can take communion. And I remember walking down those long stairs and tears in my eyes. And I went and I took my first communion. You know, inclusion and acceptance changes us, doesn't it? Later that morning, there was a woman, well-intentioned, who tried to pull my views out of me. Now, I worked on a college campus. I was unchurched, and so I shared my views, and she virtually attacked me for my views. And had I not had that experience earlier in the day, I don't know that I would have come back. You know, we sometimes, in our desire to set ourselves apart as Christians, you know, not be polluted by the world, sometimes we inadvertently exclude others, don't we? We want to make ourselves recognizable, right? We're supposed to. They're not supposed to tell us apart. But we're very clear about who's in and who's out. You know, we want you to come in, but we're clear that you're out. You know, and we don't mean it. It's a way that we communicate. It's a way we talk. But it happens anyway, right? And we forget that we all, like sheep, have gone astray, right? We're all the same. And, you know, Jesus wasn't like that, right? When he looked up in the tree with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, remember the tax collector, who knew very well that he was an outsider, right? He was not included. Okay, he's looking on, and Jesus looks up at him, and he says, come on down. I want to dine with you in your house tonight. And guess what? Jesus was the meal. He wants all at his table. And this meal is a reminder that you and I are accepted. You and I are included. Whether we are included anywhere else, right? You and I are a part of him. So taking communion is a time to remember whose acceptance and inclusion really brings us life, right? So the New Year's a time of possibilities, isn't it, for many? If you remember, Jesus at after supper, what did he do? He lifted up the cup and he said, this is my blood, right? The wine, this is the new covenant. So while this was closure with his disciples, because this was the last cup of wine he was going to have with them for a very long time, right? It was also a new beginning, a new covenant of life. So we can raise our cups today and celebrate that we are part of Jesus, right? And we can reflect on these questions when you take the bread. Do we feel included in him? Do we know his acceptance? Do we know we have a place at the table? Are we making room for all others? What do we need to do to change our diet this year to be and include more of him? So from trough to table, our opportunity today is to receive his full acceptance, a chance to check our hearts for how inclusive we are of others, and a new start. So let's celebrate with the most satisfying food of all, Jesus. So thank you.
Awesome. Allison, thank you so much. You know, I love what you said about Jesus being so inclusive. You know, one of my favorite verses that when I think of the Lord's Supper or communion is when Jesus said, if anyone's hungry, let him what? Let him come to me. You know, so I just picture Jesus, you know, he opens his house. He's got this great spread, you know, matzo balls and gefilte fish and lox and bagels. And he says, you know, come on, if you're hungry, come on in. So you just have to be hungry and thirsty. And there's not a whole lot of rules and regulations. You got to do this, jump through these hoops. If you're hungry and you're thirsty for him, then you're welcome at his table. That's what I believe. So let's get ready to receive. 1 Corinthians 11:23 and 24.